Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Business Conversations with Ed Pisani Jr. Today, I am very fortunate and lucky to have Lorena Tomasini with me. She's from Miami, Florida, and she does a life and health insurance in the Miami area, amongst other things. Welcome.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm glad that you could come on. So tell us your story.
Sure. So how I got started in the insurance industry, I was studying at FIU Business Administration, and my major was finance. So I was looking for something to do that would have flexible schedule. And my mom at the time needed an appointment setter to help her, you know, set appointments with her clients. And I started doing that part-time with her, and then one day I just decided to go with her to see what it was like to sell insurance. Mm-hmm. So I really liked it because I saw that she could help people and make a good living with it, as well as have that flexibility in schedule because you can manage your own time. So that's how I got started 13 years ago. And then my mom and I have been working together for that long. And we do everything now. You know, before we used to go house to house, mm-hmm. to visit with the clients, but we've been able to convert it to do everything over the phone. So that's also helped us in being able to reach more people in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So what's it like working with your mom? Because I have a small business myself, and mm-hmm. my family is kind of arm's reach away. But what's it like? Is there like a break where you sort of say we're on family time, or are you always talking business? How does it work for you?
No, I think I think that would be a little bit boring if all we did was talk insurance, no? but yeah, we certainly separate, you know, family time from business time. And yeah, the good thing is we complement each other really well. Like, she's good at like wording things, mm-hmm. sometimes better than me. So like, it's good for like when I'm doing blog posts and things like that, I'll have her to be like my editor, you know, to make sure that everything looks good. And
that's
then
great.
I'm very good at the tech side. So I've been able to develop a lot of things through there, and then I've made it easy so that she can understand how to use it as well, which is important, you know, and she's caught on pretty good as well.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. sounds like you're bilingual. Do you also speak Spanish?
Correct, yeah. My first language was actually Spanish. I was born here in Miami, but both of my parents speak Spanish. So that was my first language, and then I learned English in school, like, you know, in mm-hmm. first grade, around there. But I have been told I do have a Miami accent when I've been out of state. So I'm like, okay, sure, if you want to say that. I don't hear it because I live here, so for me it's like we talk normal, but apparently it's not proper American English.
I don't think there is a proper American English. I've lived up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and everyone has mm-hmm. a little bit of an accent. Everyone's right in their area. That's how everyone should
exactly.
speak.
Exactly, yeah. The same thing with people from, like, Jersey. Mm-hmm. You always know they're from Jersey and not New York, right? Because it's, like, a specific way of speaking. That's interesting, though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, mm-hmm. In reference to life insurance and health insurance, I mm-hmm. know there's been a lot of things going on and changes in how insurance is being provided. What's on the horizon for 2020 for like the folks that really don't know much that you see changing or improving? Could you share a little bit about that?
Of course. So let's start with health insurance, because I think that's something on everyone's minds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing this 13 years, so I've seen, you know, many differences with like how we used to sell policies, mm-hmm. where before 2010 was when the Affordable Care Act, or as people commonly referred, Obamacare, right, mm-hmm. came into effect, but it really didn't become a law until 2014, right, which is when everybody had to have health insurance, and things like that. But there's been a lot of positives with that. And it's that, for one, insurance companies, health insurance companies that participate in what's known as the marketplace, can no longer deny people based on a pre-existing condition, which to me, that's huge. I don't have any pre-existing conditions, but a lot of my clients do. And that could be anything from high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, right? Anything, even maternity was considered at times a pre-existing condition. Yeah, like women before had to pay a lot more for coverage just in case they got pregnant, you know? So I see a lot of positive changes in that effect. And then the other important part is that based on people's income and their family household, they might qualify for an IRS tax credit to help them pay for their monthly premium, right? And then depending where they fall on the federal poverty level chart, which is really what we use to determine that, they might also qualify for things like lower deductibles and lower co-payments, which is just in a way of saying when people use the plan, it will be more affordable, depending where they fall on that chart. So I see a lot of positives, and really for next year, for 2020, the open enrollment is from November 1st till December 15th. We expect, at least here in Florida, for the prices to stay pretty much the same, not much difference. You know, because with all the political things that have been going on, unfortunately, that did cause the markets to go up a little bit, but people that qualify for the credit really don't aren't affected by that. It's for the people that don't qualify for the credit because they make too much money, then yes, those people might pay more.
Okay, that's interesting. For someone that there's a lot of baby boomers in the state of Florida, believe it or not, a lot of retirees. What things should they be thinking about for health insurance for 2020?
Yeah, that's great. So for baby boomers, I'm assuming people either turning 65 or already past that age. Medicare is really important, and unfortunately, that can also be confusing because when somebody turns 65, they get tons of things in the mail, a whole bunch of people calling them, so many options that they don't really know what to pick, and they just pick anything. But it's important to sit down with like a broker and have them explain, you know, ask questions, you know, like is your doctor important to be in the network? What medications do you take? There's a series of questions we can ask to really decide what plan or what company would be the best for that person. There are going to be some changes with like Medicare supplement plans. Certain plans are going away for next year, but that's really on a one-to-one basis to determine those types of things. But yeah.
That's interesting. So is would you say that the state of the health insurance companies are strong? Because I always hear like that there's all types of concerns that they're not going to be around and the sky is falling. Is that just a lot of propaganda being made up by the news media, or is there some truth to that?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of myths out there, and like it's whatever can grab headlines seems to be what people believe. But based on what I'm seeing, like here in Dade County in Miami, for example, for next year, we're going to have even more companies to offer the public.
Really?
So yeah, so and that's just one county here. They're in different counties as well, and I've seen that companies are expanding to new states that they weren't before. So to me, that's a sign that things are actually even better than what we see in the media, you know?
So if someone wants to be like, yeah, I want to step up and get some health care coverage, which seems like it only makes sense to do that. Like have you had any negative experiences with the hospitals, or have the hospitals been like very much on board as well, or?
Yeah, so that's a great question because that's something that people are always concerned about, right? Oh, what about a hospital stay? I always joke around with my clients that it's important to have health insurance. Even if you're super healthy, anybody can trip and fall or have a car accident and have to go to the hospital, you know? And that's always like the most expensive overnight stay you might have. And the good thing is that these insurance plans do cover hospital stays, so that's not really something to worry about. It would only be a concern, like if you have a medical emergency, by law, you can go to any hospital, right? Somebody's having a heart attack and they call 911 and they take them to a hospital that might not be in the network of that company per se. They still have to cover it because that's a medical emergency. What I always say, what you can't do is have a programmed knee surgery, for example, and want to get it done at a hospital. That's not covered with your plan.
But if you have
That
an
right
on
there
on
is a
like if
main.
you have like a heart attack, that's not really planned and you're just gonna go
That's
wherever.
a life or death emergency, and
Yeah.
so yes, they will cover it. In fact, I had a client that was out of state, and they happened to have a heart attack in that state that's not Florida, and the insurance company covered it,
That's great. I'm glad to
So
hear that because
yeah.
you know that seems to be like always a concern with retirees and their families as well because you know you want to
Of
make sure
course.
your family is okay and especially when they're out of town and you know so I have a question for you because you're a business owner and you work with your mom when it comes to like business management in this industry what are some of the things that you found with health insurance that is different than a traditional like car insurance agency in reference to managing and handling operations?
So for us, it's very important to keep in touch with your clients. Like with car insurance, they only seem to call when they need to renew coverage, right? But with us, we do life and health insurance, so it's important for us to always be top of mind with our clients to know, they have any questions, call us so we can help them figure out whatever issue they might be having. So we've been using a lot of like text messaging to like just regular messages out there about if you have changes in your income or anything like that, let us know so we can update your information. And birthdays and things like that, we always send out a little text message. People seem to like that
That's
as
cool.
well.
Yeah, it's a whole new brave world with the text messaging and the data. Being able to communicate this way is so cool. I personally love it.
And what's really interesting is baby boomers seem to love text messaging. Like I've had so many clients who are like, "Oh no, just text me. Don't even call me." And I'm like, "Okay." Eventually we have to get on the phone call to like details and things like that. But I found it interesting how baby boomers, I see them, they're always on Facebook. Like they've really embraced technology, especially on their phones. I think it's made it easier, to a quick example for like Medicare, a lot of that is e-signatures. So it'll be like an email that they have to open, and then they can, do the e-signature through there. And they all feel like really proud once they've done it. They're like, "Oh wow, it wasn't as hard as I thought," So they really like being included in this generation's technology,
I always get a kick out of it because I have a grandmother, she's much, much older, and she basically has social media so she can see pictures of the grandkids. That's the whole reason. Like, she has no other purpose.
That's good. That's good.
Switching gears, you also do health insurances as well. And, like, I'm sorry, switching gears to life insurance, health life. Tell me a little bit about life insurance and what makes it different from health insurance because like I kind of look at it as being like you have insurance like one's to keep you alive and one is for your life but it seems like they should be just one insurance. So why is it so important to have two?
So health insurance, I really look at it as protecting your pocket. If you have a medical emergency or if you need to go to the doctor, things like that, right? And then life insurance is really there. It could be either for yourself, really, and I'll explain what I mean by that. But life insurance traditionally has been so that if you pass away for your family or your, if you have a business for your business partner, right, to be able to continue the business and things like that. But life insurance nowadays, it's actually been a little bit more modernized, let's say, because there's things called living benefits that are included in many policies. And what this does is it allows the person to use part of that death benefit now while they're living in case of a critical illness, for example, which could be like cancer, heart attack, stroke, or in case of something where they can't do what we call activities of daily living, which is basically walking, bathing, eating, and a few other things. So what this allows is the person to have funds available if they need in case of a cancer or heart attack. Why? Because nowadays, a person surviving something like cancer is more likely, right? Especially if they caught it early and depending what type of cancer it is. But the health insurance will pay, for example, for the chemotherapy, right? But how's that person that right now maybe had to take leave off work because they had to go do chemotherapy? How are they going to continue paying their regular bills, the mortgage, the car, and everything else? So that's where that life insurance with the living benefits comes in really handy, you know?
Okay. So more or
Another
less a
thing,
living benefit is not like saying, hey, I'm going to take a cruise this year because it's good for my health. I'm
No.
less depressed when I'm in the Caribbean for some reason.
No. It has to be a trigger and it's specific triggers. Like it says it in the policy, right? Like cancer, heart attack, stroke. There's like 16 or 18 different triggers for that, you know? Depressions is not one of them. However, you do bring up a good point. There are policies that you can do that have built cash value. And this cash value, these are permanent plans. As the years pass by, you have funds in there that you can use. And that doesn't matter what you want to use it for. That could be because you want to go on vacation and you want to take money out of your life insurance. You can't. So what you're really doing is like kind of like a savings account within the life insurance policy.
Interesting. That's
So
good to, for the listeners to know about, because if they didn't know about it, maybe that'll give them a chance to think about having the conversation to be like, hey, you know what? That might be cool for me, because I do like I love the idea of going on cruises, and if my life insurance policy could take advantage of it, I want to learn more.
And a lot of people use those cash value policies for even more interesting things like retirement plans to supplement their current retirement.
Gotcha.
You know, so there or college education, there's a few different things that people can use that for.
That's cool. So, talking a little bit about the types of life insurance, because I'm kind of aware a little bit about life insurance. You have term, you have whole, you have universal. Do they just make these terms up? Are they going to come out with any new terms like intercontinental? It just seems like they keep on coming up with newer ones. Or is it just like something that's industry standard? These are the terms that they use.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, their industry standard, like a term policy, is a policy that will last until that term expires, whether it's 20 years, 30 years. You know, some companies will put like a executive or signature or something in front of that term, in front of that word. But at the end of the day, it still acts the same way, right?
Okay, so an executive signature, is that like the company representative?
It's just branding of that company,
Okay,
right?
gotcha.
But it still does the same thing.
Okay, so more or less it's clever marketing to.
But there are differences between like a whole life and a universal life,
And what are
right?
those
And
differences?
so like a whole life, you're basically always going to pay the same amount and that policy will last to age 120, okay? So there's no flexibility in that policy. You have a cash value as well, but it's very low interest rate usually. And then a universal life, you have a little bit more flexibility, because you can change what your monthly premium is. If maybe, you need to take a few months off making payments, you can do that. So it has a little bit more flexibility in that sense.
I guess my question is, you mentioned like 120, and like I've heard that people are gonna live longer. So what happens after someone turns 121 years old? Is the
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you make it past then, that's it. You really have no life insurance,
So you're just done. You're just sort of like, okay, we're done with you.
Eventually, mortality rates right now are like 85 for men and 88 for women. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I think I saw last. So 120, I think we're overshooting a little bit, right? But maybe for our generation, we might get there, because with so many advances in technology and medicine and so forth, yeah, we might live there. And I would imagine that the insurance companies would also change their policies at that time, just like how they're including these living benefits in the policies. You don't pay extra for these benefits for you to have that option of using the death benefit in case of a critical or chronic illness, so, and I think that's a change that's happened because they've seen now so many people. Maybe in the 80s, a heart attack would be like a death sentence, but nowadays, a heart attack is like no big deal, So they're seeing, well, people aren't necessarily dying from this, but they might still need some of that death benefit now to help them with paying for bills or whatever. Or in fact, if they had a heart attack and they want to use the benefits to go on a vacation, they can. No one's going to tell them you have to use this for that,
Yeah.
So,
Gotcha. That's good to know, because it's not easy to like have a conversation about this subject, because nobody ever wants to think about like not living forever. Like
Exactly.
yeah, so
But
it's
it is reality. And
yeah.
especially, for like business owners out there, we always think about, oh, our family. But sometimes we also need to think, oh, well, what about my business? How's my business going to continue if something happens to me or my partner, or if they have more than one partner, right? So there's specific plans that we can do geared towards protecting the business.
Gotcha. That's cool. So could you give an example of one of those plans? Just because I know there's a lot of business people that might be like, well, what is one?
Give me one moment. I don't know what that noise is. So for businesses, if let's say, give me, hold on, there's something going
But it's
on.
all good. Like sometimes technology is not as good as we hope it would be, and like
No, that's fine.
I had some
So
weird buzzing the
for
other day, and I was like, where is this coming from?
oh, yeah.
So go on, I'm sorry.
So and that's fine. So for businesses, a good idea would be like a key person insurance. And what that really means is just ensuring, let's say you have like a top salesman, and if that person, if they were to pass away, for example, it would cause a big impact on that business, right? Because they're no longer bringing in the customers or the revenue into that business, right? So a lot of times you can do a key person insurance and insure that person so that if they were to pass away, the business would receive the death benefit, okay? And there's a few ways of doing that that can be beneficial as well for the key person, right? You can do it with like retirement planning ideas in like a permanent plan. So that's one way that we could do a business plan.
So
There's other
essentially, like,
things.
it sounds like a great idea, but is it affordable? Because I know for some small businesses, like when they're just getting the ball rolling and they have that one key person, it's like it's all pie in the sky great ideas until they hear the numbers and they're like, oh gosh, I can't afford that. Is it affordable or?
Unfortunately, life insurance is one of those things that people overestimate like 80% of what it actually costs. So it definitely can be something affordable, you know. People can qualify like up to $1 million in coverage with no medical exam at really good rates, you know, but it all depends on the person's health really and their age.
But for like
But
the key person,
yeah, for like the key person.
so that's something that's achievable because, like, unfortunately, like we're living in a, I feel like a freelance side hustle, on top of like whatever else you're doing, like career wise or business wise, they're always trying to find that other little thing that brings some more money. And for some folks, it's just like, it's not achievable, like, but you're saying it could be achievable, like if
It
you're
could be, I mean, especially if it's a business that's starting out, maybe their best thing would be to start with a term policy because term is always more affordable than a permanent plan. But at least you have that coverage in place. And the good thing is you can always convert that term policy in the future without that person having to prove insurability. So real quickly, what that means is that let's say 5 years from now, that person got diagnosed with like cancer, okay? That person would be harder to get life insurance, okay? But they had this policy, this term policy that they bought 5 years ago. They can now convert it to a permanent plan without having to answer medical questions, okay? So they have that coverage in place at an affordable price, and then maybe down the line they can convert it to something permanent. If that's something they want to do, they don't have to, you
Now,
know.
I have a question, and this is just like being a small business owner. Like, if I were to like have a friend that had a business and said, I want to do this, but I have a high turnover of staff members, so my key person is different every 6 months. Is that insurance just for the staff member, or is it just carry forward to other staff members?
No, it's just for that one person.
So if that
It's
person
not
leaves,
like
does the business have to surrender the insurance, or could they be like, hey, we're gonna just keep it on them?
they could keep it on them if they want. You know, you don't have to necessarily cancel it.
That's interesting.
But a lot of times, if it's like a solopreneur, right? Like you were saying earlier, you do everything. You know, your sales, your marketing. You hire and fire temp staff, right? Then that's the person who really would need the life insurance, right? So that if something happens to them, they still have funds to continue, right? Because if you're the one doing everything, and God forbid some illness happens, how are you going to continue paying those temp staff? You know, you still need money coming in. So,
Yeah, I gotcha. So, but is it, I'm guessing it is legal. If you're like a small business owner and you have like a team of like 10 people, where it's not like a solo situation, but you just have turnover, maybe you're just like a taskmaster that is not the most unabrasive person. You're the equivalent of like sandpaper or Brillo pad, and you just have that turnover. Is it ethical to keep the insurance on that person even if they leave?
More than likely, that person will cancel that plan, right? Because they're no longer working there. So why are you going to continue paying for something that person really is not an asset to your business,
That's
you know?
interesting. It's just a curiosity, and considering this is
And
a business
that's an interesting
conversation,
question.
yeah, to sort of hear it from a professional, because a lot of times these questions never get brought up, and these conversations never really happen.
And I mean that's why I think it's important to always review. Like I usually do annual reviews with my clients to make sure that everything we set in place the year before is still up to date. You know, if there's been changes in staff or things like that.
I gotcha. So, being again back to the business management, you and your mom have this agency. What's something that you see when it comes to life insurance that you really have to focus in on, different than the health, that is important to make you be successful?
So a lot of life insurance it's even more education-driven than health insurance, because there's all these misconceptions with life insurance. You know, like, oh, the first one is it's expensive, or oh, I'm going to have to do a medical exam, or you know, I don't qualify because I have diabetes, right? Things like that. So it's really overcoming and educating the clients about what life insurance is and what impact it could really have on them and their family or their business.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you see yourself having a larger agency with more employees? What's your plan for the future, with the
Yeah,
company?
that's a great question. So I definitely see myself expanding to recruiting maybe other agents, people that are new in the business, things like that. And I mean, I really enjoy what I do, which is helping people. So I would obviously continue selling what I currently do.
So like I guess if someone you mentioned you're going to recruit new agents. If someone was new coming into this industry, either fresh out of college, got a GED, or maybe relocated to the area, wants to try something different. What's some advice you can give to them, obviously, to help them be successful? Because I have folks all across the country and even the world that will be listening in to this broadcast. So they may not actually be in Miami proper. What's some advice you can give to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would definitely say, like everything, it's a numbers game, and you just have to reach out to more people than you might think you need to in order to get a sale, you know. And yeah, it's just really deciding if it's something you want to do. You'll know once you try it, you know. Go on a few sales calls and things like that to see if it's something you like. You know, they always say insurance, or specifically life insurance, is hard to sell because it's really an intangible, and it's not something people can touch and feel, right? Even with the health insurance, you have your ID card and you'll use it, so you see, oh, it works, right? But with life insurance, it's a little bit different because it'll work once that person passes away. So it's really selling with stories that help. Especially for people that are new, using stories about how life insurance has helped other families, you know. And there's a good website, I think it's called Life Happens, and they have a lot of information there that we can use as insurance agents to bring awareness about life insurance. And yeah.
So what I'm hearing sorta is some of the best agents are storytellers.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that relates to any field, realistically, right? Whether you sell insurance or cars or whatever, people need stories to visualize what you're telling them.
Interesting. That's cool. Well, this has been a really great show. I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about your story, about your industry. Is there any final thoughts you want to leave the listeners with before we sign off?
Yeah, I think my final thought would be thank you for having me on your show, but also for people to take action, because a lot of times we just have this information, but if you don't really take the next step and do an application or whatever the next step might be, you're not really doing anything. I think indecision is still saying no. So yeah, just really making a decision about what you want in anything in life is important.
In case someone wants to reach out to you, what's your website, telephone
Sure.
number?
Okay, so my website is www.m like Mary, A like Apple, L like Larry, M like Mary, INS.com. And my phone number is 786-236-1792.
Great. Well, again, thank you for being on the show today. I really enjoyed this. I always enjoy listening to business professionals sort of share their story. And to all the listeners out there, I hope you enjoyed this. I know you drive to and from work, and this is a good length of time for you to get from point A to point B. Tune in again next time, and thank you for listening to Business Conversations with Ed Pisani. Take care.